Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Greetings, Bark Radio listeners, and welcome to our very doggy world.
Woof.
Back at ya.
So, we are going to talk about something that Dee and I are both very interested in, and that's service dogs.
Yeah, man, we're kind of up to our eyebrows in that subject, aren't
we? Yeah, it's been busy doing doggy stuff. That's one of the reasons we've been a little slow getting episodes out, has been focused on service dogs.
So. And that requires travel often, and it's just a crazy, crazy life right now. So where should we start, Terry? Do you want to start with kinds of service dogs, or...?
I think that sounds like a good starting point, because there's some folks that may not realize how many types of service dogs there are.
Okay, so you want to talk about the kind of service dog Kim is to start with?
Well, Kim is specifically for post-traumatic stress and depression. Mm-hmm. She's been trained to do some physical assist stuff, but it's very basic. You know, just pull a cord on an emergency switch to bring a nurse in. She's also will hold a door that has a tug on it, and she will wake a person up so they can go to bed.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
And I think those are typical of psychiatric service dog tasks, but there are tons of things that they can be taught to do.
Exactly.
And they're true lifesavers on so many levels for people diagnosed with PTS. I have a client who has that diagnosis, and one of the things that we're working on is... He has nightmares that he's not aware of, but his wife certainly is. And so we're working on the dog, who's a large breed dog, joining him in bed when he starts to have a nightmare and kind of physically getting on him, which we are hoping will result in him just automatically, even in his sleep, putting his hand on the dog, because we think that's going to help.
I would think that would work. I mean, it makes sense.
And, you know, I just met a wonderful gentleman who's got one of these dogs, and one of the things his dog knows, has been trained to understand, is if his handler is in a difficult social situation, the handler can either cue the dog, or I believe the dog has been trained to do this on his own, he will pull his handler out of the situation, and he's trained to go out an exit door, so they actually remove themselves from a building. And his handler said it happened recently, and as soon as he was outside, he was fine.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool.
So, and you know, they can be trained to bring meds, to wake people up at a specific time, so many wonderful things. So, you know, one of the things that we're going to address in this episode is, like PTS, there are so many invisible disabilities. You see a person with a service dog these days, they're not necessarily going to be blind, or they're not necessarily going to be in a wheelchair.
Right.
There are so many kinds of service dogs that can help so many people.
Right. And that's the one thing to be conscientious of. You know, just because the disability isn't visible doesn't mean it's not there. You know, be kind to those folks.
Really, because they're struggling on some level, or they wouldn't have that dog.
Exactly, exactly.
So another kind of service dog is a hearing dog.
Yeah, and you're starting on one of those.
I'm so excited, absolutely. Hearing dogs assist people, not just who are completely deaf, but that have hearing loss. And the dogs, for one thing, people who wear hearing aids do not wear them when they sleep.
Makes sense.
So one of the things the dogs have to learn is to wake them up if the smoke detector goes off, or there's any kind of emergency at night, or if someone's trying to break into their home, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. They're taking a shower. They're not going to wear their hearing aids in the shower, you know. So the dogs are there for a lot of it is in the home, just making sure nothing bad happens that their handler can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the world, one of the things we're going to teach this dog, I love this, is when somebody says the handler's name, we're going to teach the dog to alert her to that fact, because often she, especially if you're behind her, even with a hearing aid, she's not going to hear you say her name. And you think she's being rude, and she's not. She just can't hear you.
Right.
So I think that's a pretty exciting kind of
service dog. That'll be really
cool.
Great stuff.
And one of the things, Terry, I want to add here is one of the reasons this young woman is getting a service dog, or we're training one for her. She's 24 years old, she's a college student, and she's living independently away from her parents for the first time. The dog will give them a sense of security, knowing that there's a four-legged person on duty all the time to take care of their daughter. So that's a lot of what we see.
That's a lot of peace of mind. I mean, that kind of rolls into a lot around the diabetic alert dogs that you do.
Absolutely.
And you know, children and parents, you know, there's a need on both levels there, just to get a night's sleep.
Well, it's the night's sleep, and then it's like the process of allowing your child, we all go through this as parents, you know, to have freedom in their lives, to be able to have normal lives. And kids with diabetes don't. Type 1 diabetes is a cruel disease. It impacts every moment of their lives, and many moms and dads will say, okay, I want a diabetic alert dog for my kid, so when it's time to get his or her learner's permit, he'll actually be able to drive because I will allow him to, because the dog will alert him. Excuse me. Because the dog will alert him if his blood sugar is going low or high. Problem with a low blood sugar is that individual's behind the wheel of a car, they could go so low that they'll have an accident.
Right.
And the dog can prevent that. Another piece of this for kids is the kid's going to go to college and wants to go to college in another state away from home. And the parents are not going to allow that to happen because diabetics often die in their sleep. And they don't want that to happen to their child. So they get themselves a diabetic alert dog, get that dog trained, and again, that's that peace of mind. And how scary must it be for a teenager to know that they could go to sleep and not wake up because of the disease that they've been diagnosed with?
That's a tough way to go through life.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And a dog can make a difference.
It can make a huge difference. So let's see. Other kinds of
seizure alert?
Mm-hmm. And, well, that one's an interesting
one. I don't even know how to train for that one. I think about that a lot because I'd like to understand.
It's changed from my, this is what I understand at this moment in time. And service dog world changes constantly. It's in flux. A lot of organizations who train dogs for people with seizure disorders are saying now that there is no such thing as a seizure alert dog, at least not that you can train in place. Apparently, they're training them now to basically give comfort after the seizure. But what they're saying is once the dog is in the home, they seem to start understanding that it's going to happen, and then they can learn some sort of an alert. But many, many organizations now are not using the term seizure alert dog anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense because, you know, it's not like with a diabetic alert. You're sent training. There's a very specific methodology there. With seizures, I mean, it's so different because it's electrical impulses. And while I believe dogs sense your energy, until there's that bond, I don't think that's something that can happen. And that's personal. I don't know.
But I suspect that's it. And what they've found is they've tried to train and apparently not successfully seizure alert. The other thing is there are a gazillion kinds of seizure disorders, not just epilepsy. So I don't know how the kind of seizure disorder that you have impacts the ability of the dog to know there's one coming. So more questions than answers with that kind of dog at this point, but still fascinating. And I mean, certainly if I were coming out of a bad place, I would love to have a dog there to give me comfort. So that's all, quote unquote, they can do. Not a bad thing,
right. That's a plus. But I do really think that over time they'll start to naturally pick it up. Whatever it is,
mm-hmm. And that's when I just want to be able to have a dog be able to speak to me in people just briefly, so I can understand what it is that they're recognizing.
Yeah. Oh no! Wouldn't that be genius?
Oh my
if we
God.
Could just get a few minutes worth of conversation.
That's all, just with each dog. Thank you so very much. And then there are all sorts of others. For example, dogs for people with traumatic brain injury.
Yeah. Autism.
Oh, man. Autism dogs apparently just rock.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've read, again, not experiencing it, it seems like it's a pretty amazing, I'll put this in quotes, therapy, because, you know, they can sense the whatever the particulars are of that individual happening. And then they react to that and comfort, control, soothe, whatever's
the
right. Yeah, break that cycle. That's a good way to put it. They by interrupting that, they're making a difference. So
It's huge. Dogs can do so many things. I suspect over the years we'll just keep seeing more new protocols, because I don't know that human beings have figured out all the ways dogs can help us yet.
Oh, I'm sure we have. We're not that smart.
No, we're not. they're so much smarter than we. Okay, let's see. Anything else?
Well, those are the ones that come to mind, but I bet there's others.
Oh, there are. One of the things that you see every now and again is a dog who's trained to detect the smell of peanuts for people with severe peanut allergies. There's one that came up recently, and I don't know that this exists. But it's certainly life-threatening, and when something is life-threatening, I suspect somebody will figure out a way to train a dog. It was for a woman who is severely allergic to mold. And since there are mold-sniffing dogs for people who are going to renovate buildings, that means they can smell it. That means it could be trained.
Yeah.
But how cool would that be? Because at this point, the one woman I know who's asked the question can't basically go anywhere because she will be in the emergency room if there's mold in a building that she walks into.
I would think that's trainable. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, every mold is going to smell a little bit different.
But once the dog gets the gist, you know, you teach them on two or three different molds, I suspect they're smart enough to go, okay, that's a different kind, but it's still yucky. Yeah. Mom, go the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I mean, that would be really neat. I have not seen dogs that do that specifically.
I haven't either, but, you know, again, people who are in a bad way with disease or physical disabilities, that sort of thing, and if they're spending time on the internet, they're gonna eventually get to that could a dog help me place.
Yeah.
And we actually, if you ever have that question, we have a place you can go to find out.
Yeah, servicedog411.com. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of ours, Sue, runs that organization, and they are very much in the know for service dogs.
And if they don't know, they will help you figure it out, whatever it is you do need to know. So keep them in mind. We'll put that link up on our website.
Yeah.
But again, guys, what we want to help people understand is that if you see a person who looks healthy with their service dog, don't think anything except, wow, cool that they have it and I'm not allowed to pet it.
Yeah.
And that will just be doing everyone with a service dog a huge favor.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I think that's it for this one.
Have a good one.
See you guys.